You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or KNE World Network, LLC.
Save her, let her believe it, get on her knees and pray her, then pray her, and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good, and it's all hard to do right when you do wrong, when you turn right, but you turn all the way left.
Henshaw, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Gratitude is the only attitude worth having. My name is Dr. Dawn Karima, and I'm so thankful and grateful that you've joined us today and that our guest is with us today. So I'll ask our distinguished guest, please introduce yourself to us.
My name is Jacob King. I live in Atlanta, and I'm a child of God.
Amen. We're so happy you're here. Thank you so much for joining us today. What does it mean to you to be a child of God?
It means that I'm in a great family. I have new DNA because I'm a new creature in Christ. Mm-hmm. And it's just a blessing.
Yes, amen. That's wonderful. It's marvelous that you've joined us today. And I want to hand you the mic and let you share with us what is on your heart today, because every time you're here, you uplift and encourage and bless us, and it is actually just miraculous what happens in our lives after you join us. So thank you for joining us. What's on your heart today?
Well, first, I just want to, you know, thank you for having me. And also congratulate you on your many awards and nominations and all of the good things that are going on as a result of you doing your podcast. I just want to congratulate you.
Oh, that means the world to me coming from you. Thank you so much. And thank you, Jesus. We are nominated for a World Entertainment Award for this podcast, a Fair Play Country Music Award for this podcast, a Red Carpet Award Show in Holland for this podcast, and some other terrific accolades as well. And all glory to God. And thank you, because by being a guest with us, by praying for us, you have certainly been a wonderful part of this journey, and I appreciate you.
Yeah, we just praise God for your obedience and doing the podcast, because you're reaching and touching lives that may not have been reached otherwise.
Oh, how encouraging. We reach 160 countries now and all 50 United States, and it's just amazing. We have to have a miracle just about every month, you know, to keep doing what we do, and yet God blesses us to do it, and I'm very honored and very humbled that God trusts me with this. And so thank you. You've just encouraged me to keep on going.
Yeah. I think that, you know, by this being a month of, you know, being thankful and having gratitude, I thought about that when you told me that, you know, this week would be a podcast about gratitude, and I don't know what you exactly the name that you came up for it.
The gratitude attitude.
The attitude of gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I thought about that, and my mind works a little differently than you know, some people's. I think all of our minds do.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we have a unique DNA about us. But when I started thinking about it, I was like, you know, there's a lot of times and circumstances that we don't see And we need to be more mindful to thank God for the things that he brought us through that we haven't seen.
Yes.
Do you ever think about that?
I do, because I think God needs to save my life at least once a day, and I don't even know it. You know, I had some conditions in my body for a lifetime that we didn't know about, and God just was basically saving me every day. So, yes, I agree with that.
Yeah, so I thought about, you know, how we, you know, so focus on the seen world.
Uh-huh.
What goes on in the unseen world?
Wow.
And I said, well, what example could I give? Because we need to start being mindful of what God is doing behind the scenes. And there's a perfect story, I think, Numbers chapter 22, where the children of Israel are able to see behind the scenes. And
mm-hmm.
I said, you know, when Moses was up on the mountain, God must have revealed, you know, this to him in order for it to be written in Numbers in such detail like it is. Are you familiar with the story of Balaam and Balak?
I sure am, and I like to laugh to myself sometimes that God has used cars like he used Balaam's donkey. Like, there's just times when the car just wouldn't go, just wouldn't start. And then after the event that I missed, it was back running just fine.
So for those of us, or those listeners that aren't familiar with the story, we'll kind of go through it. And if you will help me, Don, we'll kind of go through the story so that, you know, everybody can be on the same page.
Oh, sure. Yes. What a great idea.
So the people of Israel were, you know, going through the wilderness. And they were encamped in the wilderness, and they were getting close to Moab. That's right where Jordan, Jericho area.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the ruler of Moab, or one of the rulers, his name was Balak. And he had learned, you know, that Israel was coming through conquering different cities and countries, that, you know, the Lord was showing favor. He had delivered them out of the hand of the Egyptians. And he was getting nervous in the service. So he was like, you know, they get near my country. I don't want to be conquered. Let me consult, you know, this what would you call Balaam?
That's a really great question.
Yeah.
I think Balaam thought he was one thing, but God thought maybe he was something else. You know, God.
Okay.
God does talk to him.
Yeah.
He does hear from God.
He definitely had a gift. I wouldn't really call him a prophet.
No.
Because but he did some prophetic things. Let's just put it that way. But it was interesting because God was working through him, and he was not of the children of Israel.
Oh, interesting.
He was of another, you know, background.
Uh-huh.
I think he was from Aram, as they said. But at any rate, he had a gift to where God would speak to him, and he would be able to foretell what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So Balak sent for him, and he said, you know, I want you to come and curse the people of Israel so that they won't run me over and take over my land like they've done, you know, to the Amorites.
Wow.
So Balaam refuses to go at first. And because he already knows that he cannot curse what God has blessed.
Wow. Amen.
And we'll come back to that, but that is really deep for me.
Very deep for me, too.
Yeah. So he told Balak, he said, you can give me a house full of gold and silver, but I still, you know, can't go against what God puts in my mouth. So he sent some other guys, and these were more supposed to be higher ranked and more impressive emissaries. And he said, look, the people of Israel are getting close. You know, they about to come and take over Moab. Please come, you know. And Balaam consults the Lord, and the Lord is like, okay, you can go. But on his way, like you said, the Lord is kind of upset that he's even going. And he sends an angel and stands in the pathway. So the donkey sees the angel, but Balaam does not see the angel. So the donkey is trying to, like, get out the way.
Yeah.
And he starts, you know, crushing Balaam's foot up against the wall. So Balaam hits the donkey three times, and the donkey starts speaking because the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and he was like, you know, why are you hitting me? You know, we've been cool all your life.
Yeah.
And he said, then the Lord opened the eyes, and he was able to see the angel, and the angel told him, he was like, you better be glad that the donkey saw me, or I would have, you know, cut you down off of him and save the donkey alive. And he was like, oh, I'm sorry. He you know, bowed and worshiped. And long story short, he allowed him to go ahead and pass by and go on with Balak, you know, people. So he went, and they built these altars. They made sacrifices on seven altars, and he took them to a high place. But even at the high place, they could only see a portion of the children of Israel because they had grown so big. You know, the promise of Abraham, you know, was being fulfilled, in that your children will be as the stars of the sky and as the sand, you know, by the seashore. So he can only see a portion of it. So he did his sacrifices, and he consulted God, and God blessed the children of Israel. You know, it's like, well, let's go to this different area. Try it again.
Yeah.
So they did the same thing over, you know, two more times. And each time, Balaam could only speak what the Lord put in his mouth. Let's pause right there. You know, can you imagine if we, you know, did the same thing?
Yeah.
If we only spoke what God put in our mouth.
how amazing our lives would be, our communities would be. We would see changes in our world. I truly believe that.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yes, agree with God and be at peace, and thereby good will come unto thee. I mean, if we just agreed with God, like, I'm just only going to speak God's words over every situation in our lives. Oh, wow. Think of the breakthroughs we would have, the miracles we'd see, signs and wonders. We'd see amazing things happening. That's great.
It is. So let's go back to, you know, that statement I made.
Uh-huh.
You know, you cannot curse who God has blessed.
Oh,
whether you realize it or not, if you have a blessing on your life,
uh-huh.
You have a blessing on your life because you're in Christ. In the Word, it says that the seed of Abraham would be blessed.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That, you know, Abraham himself was blessed first, but it says that his seed will be blessed. And in Galatians chapter 3, it talks about the seed of Abraham being Christ.
Wow.
And if we be in Christ,
mm-hmm.
we are blessed because we're in the seed of Abraham.
Oh, boy, that is powerful. That is tremendous. In fact, one of my music projects, one of my CDs, is called The Stars of Heaven. And I named it that because I was desiring to have children and have a family. And I thought, okay, you made a promise to Abraham. I'm in Abraham. And now you've made a promise to me. I really want to touch on what you just said about you cannot curse what God has blessed. Because I think there are so many people wandering around the earth right now with sort of this vague sense that they are cursed, unlucky, doomed, ill-fated. You know, in many cultures, they talk about what sign you were born under or what was happening in the moon and the stars and all of that when you were born. Or there are cultures that say certain families are cursed or certain groups of that culture, castes, are cursed, and there's just nothing they can do about it. And so I would love it if you would just expound on that a little bit more. You cannot curse what God has blessed.
Yeah, and, you know, those are exactly my thoughts about it, that mm-hmm. a lot of people are thinking about what family that they were born into, what
uh-huh.
astrological sign
uh-huh.
that they were born under. And even, you know, I've heard people say that they're trying to break a generational curse.
Right, I've heard that. Mm-hmm.
But you know, look at the Word and believe the Word. You know, going back, let's go back to Galatians again.
Yes, right.
Galatians 3:13 mm-hmm. says, right. Christ has redeemed me
mm-hmm.
from the curse of the law. The curse of the law is poverty, sickness, and death.
Uh-huh.
So if you broke the law, those are the things that would come upon you.
Uh-huh.
And he was able to take on that curse on himself.
Yes, having been made a curse.
So if he bore the curse,
right,
that means that we are free from having to bear it.
Uh-huh.
But so many Thank of you. Us don't recognize that we're free.
Yeah.
You know, we celebrate, you know, Juneteenth in June, you know, some of us, because of, you know, the Emancipation Proclamation.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, think about that happened in 1865.
Wow.
But Juneteenth was like 1867.
Oh, my.
So it was a couple of years before some of the slaves knew that they were free.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, think about that in our lives.
Right.
That mm-hmm. we've been set free from the curse.
Amen.
But we haven't realized it because we haven't accepted the Juneteenth. the freedom that was provided when Christ took on that curse.
Thank you, Jesus. Oh, that's beautiful. Can you imagine if all your life you were told that 2 + 2 = 3? If somebody told you that, they taught you that in school, they told it to you over and over again, how different would your life be? You'd never get correct change from a dollar. You'd have to buy 2 sets of tires for your car. You would always be cheated. You would always have less simply because you believed something that wasn't true. And so maybe some of our friends listening are realizing, maybe I believed something that wasn't true. Maybe I'm not doomed. You know, just because everybody in this family has trouble with addiction doesn't mean you have to. Just because everybody in your neighborhood goes to jail doesn't mean you have to. Or even everyone in your family may be living in lifestyles that are not godly. Doesn't mean you have to. And so suddenly somebody comes in and they say, you know, I'm sure everybody meant well who told you that 2 + 2 = 3. But let me show you. 2 + 2 = 4.
Mm.
Well, from that moment on, your whole life would be different. You would, oh, wow. I mean, you'd get correct change back. Your money would be looking right again. You'd be getting the right deals and the right amounts of everything. Your dinner table would have 4 legs instead of 3. I mean, I don't know, whatever. You would suddenly have, just with that one piece of information, just with that one little bit of knowledge, you would be set free. And he who the Son sets free is free indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And what you're telling us is truth.
Yeah, we have to accept it, we have to believe it, and we have to receive it.
Mm-hmm.
That's our part in the equation.
Uh-huh.
That, like you said, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free.
Amen.
It's, you know, not just, you know, seeing it, it's accepting it, it's believing it, and receiving it as your own.
Uh-huh.
You know, think about, you know, even an inheritance.
Yes.
If you don't know that it belongs to you, you know, that's one thing. But if you know that it belongs to you and you still allow somebody else to keep it, then it's something wrong with that picture.
Right.
Like, no, that's mine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you take ownership, you know, and that's how we have to do, you know, with the word that, you know, not just read it and say, oh, that's nice. No, we got to take ownership of it. Like, that promise is for me. And I'm applying it, you know, to my life.
Yes. Oh, that's wonderful.
And there's one other thing that, you know, I want us to recognize with, you know, you cannot curse where God is blessed.
Uh-huh.
That accounts for, you know, people who are witches and in the occult. And they try to cast these spells and, you know, curse people.
Uh-huh.
Even, you know, the things with voodoo.
Uh-huh.
That stuff does not work on a believer who knows that Christ has redeemed you from a curse.
Right. Right.
All of that stuff bounces off of you like bullets bounce off the Superman.
Amen. Oh, that's beautiful. And I think that's really important because, you know, now in the modern day, we don't necessarily have people walking around with pointy hats, you know, right? But there's all kinds of people moving around in life. And sometimes you can't tell who they are.
Exactly. But there are people that, you know, practice that type of stuff, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, they do. Well, there's something wonderful. Well, all of this is marvelous, but there's something that you shared that I think is really amazing, too. Balaam was wrong. He didn't even really have a covenant with Jesus Christ. He really, you know, he was before the baptism of the Holy Spirit, all those other things. He didn't have any of that. And yet, look how hard God tried to direct him and redirect him. He really worked on sharing the truth.
They were even unaware of how he was protecting them.
Right. Wow.
That was my, you know, point for bringing up that story.
Yes.
That he was protecting them and they didn't even know. So that's why we have to be thankful for the things that we don't see that God is still doing for us.
I am so glad you made that point, because I think there are a lot of things that would be miracles if they were in a different context.
Mm-hmm.
Right? When you turn the faucet on and water comes out, hot water or cold water, there are some places in the earth, like the Navajo Nation, where you have to haul your water. There are some places in the earth where there's drought or not enough water, or the water isn't clean or available to you. And so it's easy to forget that water is a miracle. The water is a blessing. That having clean water and being able to waste it, even, you know, not just have to drink every drop, but you can wash your car, you can, you know, water your lawn. If you have that much water, that's a blessing. And so I wonder if sometimes these miracles, these blessings, these good things God has given us, if we don't have a gratitude attitude, we might miss it. We might miss it. And then there's so many things that God is doing for us constantly that we will never know about. The reason you were late to work is so you missed that catastrophic wreck on the highway. I've told that story here many times, that I was teaching at a state university, and I needed to get there on time, and everything happened to me. No kidding. I had to go change my outfit. I had to do all kinds of stuff. I left late, and I actually was, like, frustrated with God. Like, oh, God. You know, I'm the professor. I got to be there. What? Help, 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 help. And when I pulled up onto the freeway, there was an 11-car pileup. I missed it.
And you could have been the 12th.
That's right. And I missed it.
But God.
But God. And I think all of us every day, whether we know it or not, God is just ordering your steps away from this, ordering your steps away from that. That person you liked and just thought you could not live without dating didn't call you back. They ghosted you. And I really believe rejection is some of God's best protection.
Amen.
And there's just things that just didn't happen. And you don't even know. You're unaware of why this happened or didn't happen, or, you know. But all things are working for your good when you love God and are called according to his purpose.
And, you know, I often pray that part in Psalm 91 that says he will give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways.
Mm-hmm. Yes, amen. Amen. All your ways. All your ways. Just all of them. You know? Mm-hmm. You didn't hire the wrong babysitter. You didn't take the wrong job. You didn't go left when you should have gone right. I mean, all your ways. That's beautiful. I mean, that gives us so much hope that even in this world where so many things are happening, God is protecting us and he loves us so very much. I'd like to talk more about that protection when we come back from our break. Because I think in this world, with the headlines we're seeing and the things that are happening, we need your wisdom about God's protection, but we also need to be thankful for his protection. We'll be right back.
Yeah, oh Lord, can you and savor. Better believe it, get on your knees and pray hard. Then pray hard and never look back once the world forgave you.
The hardest thing to do at times is to make changes in your routine. Don't let that hold you back.
Wait a minute! They told us we had it all, Jordan! Well, yeah, I guess in a way we are running out of all.
I'm Rick.
I'm Tia.
And I'm Heather.
And we are Three Voices.
You want this drama over here? It's clear. You got Gilbert over here. You got LeBron over here. And guess what? We talking about
it. I'm trying to get over the dog whistle politics thing because I can't hear it and dogs are supposed to hear it. So who hears the dog whistle?
Your opportunity is now to get up-to-the-minute information, great entertainment, and stimulating talk programs on your computer. Yes, I said your computer. Just log on to TalkTainmentRadio.com. Click Listen Live to hear a program. The blogs and podcasts are up and running. TalkTainmentRadio.com can also be heard on your cell phone.
Yes, I said cell phone.
TalkTainment Radio. We go where you go.
Hi, everyone. Al Roker here. As a guy with his own catchphrase, I appreciate that after 75 years... Smokey's Only said,
only you can prevent wildfires.
But I'm filling in because there's a lot more to report. Like when it's dry or windy. Be careful burning yard waste, because wildfires can even start in your neck of the woods. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
I can't believe he found them.
He seems sorry.
We very clearly told him not to look up there.
I'm honestly impressed that he was able to do it.
Right? What did he balance on that big chair?
Yeah, I mean, I guess he'll just know what his gifts are this year.
I really thought we had hidden them well.
If they can find their presents, they can find a gun.
911, what is your emergency?
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Kyoko, and I know what it's like to struggle with mental health issues. If you have a friend that's going through a tough time, now is the perfect moment to reach out. Learn how to start the conversation at seizetheawkward.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit PeaceCorps.gov.
Presenting great moments in the history of 1-800-FED-INFO. For years, Americans have turned to 1-800-FED-INFO for government information. Make your own great moment. Call 1-800-FED-INFO. It's government made easy.
The gratitude attitude. My granddaddy used to say, gratitude is the only attitude worth having. And our guest is certainly an excellent model of gratitude and thankfulness in every area of his life. I'm so glad you're here. Would you please reintroduce yourself to us?
Yes, ma'am. My name is Jacob King, and I live in Atlanta, Georgia.
I'm really glad you're here, and I'm so happy and thankful for you, and I'm thankful we're having this conversation. Okay, we're talking about being grateful for what God does that we don't see and how he's protecting us from things that we're unaware of. And we've been talking about Numbers 22 and 23 and how that is an amazing example of God just moving in every part of the situation. You know, it's always been interesting to me that Balaam did have a real gift, you know, and the gifts and call of God are without reproach. They're irrevocable. So he had a real gift. He could have used that gift for God, or he could have used it to try to enrich himself. Yikes. But in all of that, no matter how much he did have or did know or whatever he had, he was absolutely not able to curse God's people. What does that mean to us? In a world like we have now, where the headlines are full of danger and wars and rumors of wars and plagues and pandemics and all, what does it mean to us that God will not let anyone curse what he has blessed?
I think it should give us, you know, peace.
Mm-hmm.
Having peace in the midst of the storms of life is of great benefit, because it gives us like a rest that the rest of the world may not have.
Mm-hmm.
When we have, you know, knowledge of the blessing and what all it entails, it's not just material things.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The blessing really gives us access to God.
Mm-hmm.
The blessing is like favor. It's like the righteousness.
Uh-huh.
It's like peace. It's like joy. It encompasses, you know, every area of our life.
Uh-huh.
And if we know that that can't be tampered with, it should give us peace in the midst of everything that's going on.
Yes. I love that. Thank you for that. I always think of shalom. Peace.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing broken.
Yeah. And I wonder, this is amazing to me that we're having this conversation in this time, and it makes me feel very grateful to God. Because what happens when we actually do realize that the blessing of God is on our lives? Yes, we have peace, and yes, we feel better and more secure. But what actually happens when that blessing is on our lives?
We can have a better quality of faith.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything is not going to go our way.
Right.
I think, and I'm learning that, you know, sometimes difficulties and the things that we experience that we might feel that are negative are to help build our character.
Okay.
They're great character builders.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
And the Bible says that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And after patience has had her perfect work, you will be complete. That word is again,
yeah.
Whole. You know, that's shalom.
Yeah.
You know, nothing missing, nothing broken.
Right.
Complete and entire, lacking nothing.
Nothing. Mm-hmm.
So that process may not always be pretty.
Right.
But it helps build our character to the point that our faith is strengthened.
I wonder if that changes our attitude to gratitude. I'm thinking about all of these things that if we don't recognize God in our lives, we could look at them and think that they are negative. And yet, if we recognize that God is at work in us, it may change the way that we see everything, right?
It definitely should.
Mm-hmm. I'm wondering, well, there's so many benefits to gratitude, too. Isn't that wonderful of God that he says, you know, give thanks, right? And yet when you give thanks, it helps you. It helps your physical body. It helps your mental capacity, right? It releases endorphins and things like that. When we give thanks, you actually start feeling better. It's one of the best ways to hack yourself out of a negative mood or a bad attitude is to start being grateful, just to start giving thanks for anything, just anything that you can think of to be thankful. And as you give thanks, I know I find that I feel better, or I feel like, wow, yeah, this is amazing. And so, go ahead, yeah.
That's a great point. And it takes faith in mm-hmm. order to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because mm-hmm. it's easy to you know, be grateful and give thanks when things are going your way.
Right.
But it takes faith to do it when things are going the opposite way that you think that they should go.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have to get ourselves out of that funk.
Mm-hmm.
It's a heaviness when we go through difficulties.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's pain involved.
Sure.
You know, whether that be physical or mental or, you know, emotional pain.
Mm-hmm.
And that has a tendency to bring us down.
Yes.
So in order to lift us up, our spirit from within exercises that faith by speaking out and, you know, giving praise and giving honor and giving that gratitude, you know, to God, even in those difficult times.
Amen. Our role model is always Jesus Christ, right? I mean, mm-hmm. What did he do? We should do that, right? I mean, what does Mary say at the wedding of Cana? Whatever he says to you, do it.
Right.
And I think about how Jesus so often, gratitude was his way of life. Gratitude was his attitude all the time. But like the loaves and fishes, right? A lot of us, if we don't have enough of something or we don't have what we need, we start complaining. I don't have what I need. What am I supposed to do with this? Murmuring or grumbling or whatever. And yet Jesus was presented, had a crowd, a multitude in the crowd, and was given 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Which, let's be honest, a 2-piece fish dinner is not going to feed a multitude, right? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And yet, he doesn't say, this is the best you could do. Y'all couldn't come up with no more food than this. This is it. You know, No, it says that he blessed it. He blessed it, and he broke it. And then, amazingly, he gave. He gave those loaves and those fishes to the disciples. And everyone had plenty to eat, and then there were baskets left over. Because gratitude makes what we have into more than enough.
Ooh-wee.
And so when I think about that, what if we blessed what we have? Okay, I know your job isn't perfect. Maybe it's not exactly what you want. But instead of complaining and fault-finding at the water cooler or telling everybody, you know, what a bad day you're having and posting about it on social media, what if you blessed it? Well, he just blessed it. Lord, you know, thank you that I have a job. Thank you that an even better job and open doors and opportunities are coming to me. But thank you for this job. Thank you that I made it to work safely. Thank you that my coworkers are polite to me. Thank you that I have a place to work and a way to pay my bills. Thank you for this job. I think it would start to transform things. Your kids, okay, I know. Okay, they're acting crazy. You don't know what they're going to do. The kids are just wild. What is happening? But what if you started saying, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for my children. Thank you that they're healthy. Thank you that I have children. Some people can't and want them. Thank you that my children are my children and you love them and you have a good plan for their lives. Thank you for their gifts and talents. Thank you for their hopeful future. Thank you for my children. Wonder what we would see change. I won't even get started on spouses. I'll leave that alone. But what if we started talking about people? What if we started talking about everything in our lives that way? We blessed it. We just blessed it. I know, complaining is easy. It's kind of the default, right? And when you complain, a lot of people will complain with you. Like, if you post something negative on social media, tons of people will be like, yeah, I know, right? It's awful. It's terrible, right? They'll just join you. But if you post something thankful and grateful, sometimes it's different. But what if we did that? What if we were just grateful for everything? What if we were just thankful for everything? And I know, okay, it's not perfect. You'll do better later. But I know this about God. He's attracted to thankfulness. God sees gratitude and thankfulness. He gets involved. So much so that we are told to enter his courts with thanksgiving and praise. Thanksgiving.
You're preaching, girl.
Mm-hmm. Thanksgiving will bring you into the presence of God. So right now, you're in the presence of something else. If right now you're listening to us and the brilliant, brilliant Jacob King, and you're thinking, you're in the presence of something else, the presence of negativity, the presence of depression, the presence of discouragement, the presence of, I don't know, the presence of whatever you're in the presence of that's not the presence of God. One of the quickest ways to get into the presence of God is Thanksgiving. To give thanks. Just do it. Even if you don't want to, write it down. Start making a list if you have to. Maybe you're just not, you know, you can't bring yourself to start being thankful and saying thankful things. Okay, start writing it down. Just thank him for something. Thank him for something that you have, that you know, that you had. You know, sometimes you have to go digging in the crates. Go thank him for stuff he did before. You know, did you say thankful? Were you thankful back then? Well, be thankful now. And I believe it brings the presence of God into our situation. Just, it's a life hack, you know, like just how to get good things, how to get the presence of God, how to get the mercy and goodness and mercy of God just activated right then and there. It's always there, but in your current situation. So God is protecting us from a lot of things we can't see. What does that mean to those of us who are parents and grandparents who care about children and young people?
That requires, you know, a level of trust, especially, you know, with, you know, your children. I know a few helicopter parents.
Oh, I feel attacked.
You feel attacked?
Yeah, I'm a little helicopter-y.
Yeah, and I understand it, you know, to a certain extent.
Yeah.
But we do have to give them space to grow and develop. Because look at how the Lord treats us.
Yeah.
You know, when we are first, let's say, newborns in Christ,
right,
that he gives us opportunity to learn how to sit, learn how to stand, learn how to walk, you know, in Christ.
Yeah.
And he is always there, but he waits on us to call on him before he will automatically step into a situation. So there's a level of trust that the parents and the grandparents have to have in trusting that God is going to cover our children and grandchildren.
Yeah.
And our job is to still pray over them, to still guide them, you know, train up a child in the way that they should go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they're old, they won't depart from it.
Right.
But we have to trust God that he is going to look over them much better than we can ourselves.
Isn't that wonderful advice that we should take for ourselves as well?
Mm-hmm.
When I think about what you're saying, so often I think that all the striving, people talk about hustle culture, and there is entrepreneurial culture, and that's wonderful, but I see people doing a lot of things to take care of themselves because they don't trust. And I'm not talking about working hard. I'm not talking about building a business. I'm talking about, I see people taking shortcuts, doing things that might be a little unethical, edging other people out of opportunities. I see that happening. Competition, strife, because they're not trusting that God will take care of them. I see people trying to make a way instead of understanding that Jesus is the way. And I think what you're saying would give a lot of us peace that, oh, God can be trusted, which is revelation knowledge sometimes. All of that was going on. Balaam had a whole drama going on, trying to curse the people of Israel. And most of the people of Israel didn't even know it.
Yeah, no clue.
making dinner, sitting around the tent. I don't know. And they had
here they are afraid of people who were afraid of them.
Exactly. Oh, that's revelation knowledge to us today, I think. Some of us are afraid of defeated folks.
Exactly.
Wow.
Because think about it. The word of them getting out of Egypt and all the plagues that the Egyptians suffered and how most of them drowned in the Red Sea trying to cross over behind the Israelites. That word has spread throughout all of them other countries. So when the Israelites were getting close, especially, in the story of Rahab, going to Jericho, she was like, "We heard about y'all some bad people. Y'all got a God on your side who's been, dealing with these other nations. So we're here trembling inside these walls of Jericho."
Right.
And, they had no idea. They're like, we look like grasshoppers among these giants. Mm-hmm. But, because God is on your side, it says, if God is for you, does it matter who's against you?
Right.
Like, bring your baddest. Mm-hmm. They can't contend with God. Their arms are too short to box with God.
Amen. Amen. Whew. I think we all needed to hear that today. I think we all needed to hear exactly what you are saying today. You mentioned that you're a child of God, and that means that you have new DNA, a great family. God is on your side, right? The psalmist said, "This I know, for God is for me." And I would love to hand you the mic and let you encourage our friends who are listening right now.
Okay. I just want to, cover all of our listeners and let you know that regardless of whether you see it or not, God is there. He's with you and he's for you, especially if you're in the family. And if you're not in the family, all you have to do is receive him in your heart. Believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead and you will be saved. That's according to Romans 10:9. So I just want to encourage you to have that attitude of gratitude. Be thankful for the things that you do see and the things that you don't see. And when you start getting discouraged, it's like Dr. Dawn said, write that list of your blessings, name them and start to speak them out to remind yourself how good God has been. I have a new favorite song by Jonathan McReynolds, and the name of the song is called God is Good, but the lyrics say, "May your troubles, how does it go? May your struggles keep you near the cross. May your troubles show that you need God. May your battles end the way that they should. And may your whole life prove that God is good." So no matter what you're going through, know that God is with you. He's for you. He's in you, and it's going to work out in your favor. If it's not in your favor, it's not over.
Wow, that that. It's a good word. And so I really believe in practical application. I really do. We call that the get off the couch step. And so right now, I don't want any of us to miss this opportunity to be thankful. So let's be thankful, Jacob King. Let's just take a minute. Tell us some things that you're thankful for, and I'll tell some things that I'm thankful for. And I hope our friends will join us by naming out loud and thanking God for some things that they're thankful for.
Yeah, I'm definitely thankful for a relationship with God, mm-hmm. that I have a Savior, I have a Lord, mm-hmm. you know, I have the Holy Spirit. I'm thankful for family. Mm-hmm. I'm thankful for extended family like Dr. Don Karima and Dr. Mm-hmm. Pettigrew. Mm-hmm. Your dad is just awesome.
Awesome, yeah.
And I'm thankful for friends. Mm-hmm. I'm thankful for shelter. I'm thankful for food, mm-hmm. clothes, you know, that I have heat, that I have sunshine, that it rains.
Yeah.
You know, I'm thankful for everything God is doing and that He has done for me. Mm-hmm. And I'm always reminded that I've made it through 100% of my worst days.
Amen.
And I'm
right.
so thankful for that. Mm-hmm. I'm still above ground.
Mm-hmm.
I still got breath in my body.
Thank you, Jesus.
So I'm so grateful for all these things and more.
Oh, yes. I'm grateful for you. We are grateful for you. Thank you, Lord. I am so thankful for Jesus. I am so thankful that I'm a mother. Thank you for the gift of motherhood. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my tribe. Thank you for this podcast. Thank you for loving me and caring about me, Heavenly Father. Thank you for everything you've ever done for me, that you are doing right now, and that you're going to do that I don't even know. Thank you for protecting us. Thank you for protecting us. Thank you for open doors. Thank you for closed doors. Thank you for our friends who listen. Thank you for putting gratitude into their heart right now. I know we're all feeling better and uplifted just by being grateful and thankful. Thank you for this conversation. Thank you for Jacob King and for preserving his life so that he can be a shining light to the whole world. And thank you for this network. Thank you for everyone who makes this show possible. Thank you for all of the good things that you are doing in all of our lives. Thank you for all the love that you allow us from friends, from family, from nature, from our pets, from our neighbors and community and everyone that you send into our lives. My granddaddy used to say, when God wants to bless you, he sends a person in your life. And when the devil wants to hurt you, he sends a person in your life. And so thank you for all the people that you've allowed in our lives. And thank you for all the people you've removed. Thank you for this conversation. Thank you, Jacob King, for joining us today. That was tremendous, as always. And I thank you. Thank you. Thank you. For being willing to share the Word of God with us.
Well, thank you for having me, being such a gracious host.
Well, thank you to all of you who listen. We're so grateful for you and we're grateful to you. And I can't wait till we're all together again next time.
You come and save her. Better believe they get on their knees and pray hard. They pray hard and never look back. What the world forgave you. You come and save her. Better believe they get on their knees and pray hard. They pray hard and never look back. What's the world?
You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. Talktainmentradio.com.